So you're going to have these older folks that are going to get married. Unfortunately, they don't understand the risks involved in all of this, in large part just because of their lack of knowledge of how the laws impact. So what I've got today is kind of a list of the reasons why you wouldn't want to get married. Now, for many of these reasons, there are solutions. A little bit later this afternoon, my buddy John McNair has got a program on estate planning for blended families. That's where you see most of the problems happen in this context or with blended families. And he's going to be talking about some solutions to all of that. I'm just going to kind of point out what I think are some of the biggest problems. In the paper that's the companion to this, I listed 9. And then depending on how the time rolls out, I may have a 10th one to bring in. So be sure and stick through all the way to the end. So that being said, let's jump into it. My first reason not to get married is the unintentional creation of community property. I can't tell you how many clients we've had where, you know, they get married later in life. He keeps his stuff separate. She keeps her stuff separate. And in their minds, they do not have any community property. And of course, this is presuming that they don't have a prenup or anything. They just get married and keep everything separate. That's the most common thing that we see. Unfortunately, when it comes to our community property laws, we got two problems that I see most commonly arise in this. The first is the presumption of community property. Regardless of whether it's in the husband's name or the wife's name or their joint names, if it is owned during the marriage, the presumption is community property. So I just got contacted yesterday by a family. Their father has died. He is survived by a wife, their stepmother. And they're automatically asking me questions about, well, he just bought this $80,000 pickup truck, and we're sure that he bought that with the proceeds from a sale of a piece of family land that he had inherited. And so, you know, they're saying, oh, well, this is definitely separate property. I'm like, whoa, maybe, but ultimately it's going to be your burden to prove that. And so tracing those funds back, maybe they can do it, maybe they can't, but inevitably it's probably going to be an expensive process. And who knows? So this presumption already creates a problem right there. Beyond that, and the thing that I think most people are unfamiliar with out there is the fact that the income off of that separate property is community property. And so this is where, you know, husband has his Edward Jones account, wife has her Wells Fargo account, and they've kept those separate. They each have beneficiary designations to their own family members, things like that. And so, you know, everybody seems to have this idea that, oh, well, we know what's separate. What they've never realized is that all the interest, all the dividends that have been created on those accounts, all of that was community property. And of course, what happens to all of that? It gets reinvested. And so, you know, maybe if they die the day after they get married, we can figure out which part was their separate property and which part is the community income off of that. But year after year after year, as that marriage goes on, it basically becomes almost impossible, particularly with something like a brokerage account, where you just cannot trace it back. And so once again, you're back to this presumption that it's community, regardless of the fact that, you know, mom had that account over at Wells Fargo since, you know, long before she ever got married. Doesn't matter. We've got the presumption, and it's going to be on those kids to overcome that presumption. And all of this is just a recipe for a family fight. So that's the first one. Kind of on this same topic is the community reimbursement rules. Those of us who have been doing this a long time, we often use the phrase economic contribution. That's what they used to call it. They changed the family code a little bit, and then they added this section about community reimbursement. But, you know, out here in East Texas, we see a lot of farmers, for example, and a lot of those farms are sitting on old family land. It's inherited land. The land is one spouse's separate property. You know, even if they've been married for a long, long time, again, it's often separate property. And real estate is usually pretty easy to identify a separate property. If it was owned prior to the marriage, it doesn't change its character over time. It stays separate property unless they actively do something. The problem is, if it's that farm or it's that rent house or something like that, property comes with expenses. You've got taxes, you've got insurance, you've got repairs, you've got maintenance. And often all of that, all of those expenses are being paid with community property.